At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I will say this, something that stands out to me. So
the nudity,
is that what it is? That does stand out in the story a bit. The Thunder bore two sons. One he named after himself, the other after the fathers before him, because ego was generational. The Thunder lived wild and free to the fullest, laughed louder than doctrine, and when he vanished in a fist-pumping celebration, he left us, his unqualified, unstable sons, to figure it all out. Welcome to the Sons of Thunder podcast, where healing sounds like laughter, heresy is accidental, and joy is our end-time survival strategy. Strap in, say a prayer, and try not to get stuck in the truths that hit harder than a youth camp altar call. Now, let's dive in with joy as our protest. Today's episode, sponsored in part by Wrath Buddies, the creators of the boldest, weirdest, biblically unhinged action figures you'll find in your church's bookstore. Introducing the all-new Delilah Betrayal Edition. She's fierce, she's fashionable, and she just took down the strongest man in the world with shears and some strategic small talk. This deluxe figure comes with Samson's detachable hair extension set, a "What's your secret?" voice chip, and a soft velvet couch to trap your enemies emotionally and physically. Warning, if you leave her alone with your Nazarite, you better pray in tongues. Built-in betrayal mode activates when you press her charm bracelet, and bam, strength is gone. Eyes, optional. She's the reason trust issues exist in the Book of Judges, and she's finally on the shelves. Delilah Betrayal Edition. Snip the strength, end the mission. Wrath Buddies, faith-based fun, questionable dating advice.
I mean, just
kamikaze
straight up,
back
it
in.
Did. Came in, it hit the windshield, and I was like, "Well, dummy,
that's its own fault."
That's what. Then I started wondering.
I've always wondered how, what, like birds and
birds that get hit by cars.
Yes,
idiot.
Like you could fly 2 feet higher. I've always had feeling of.
Can you hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you well. Can you hear yourself?
It's just kind of quiet.
I bet you're turned down there. Try that.
Is it this? Is it? Oh, yeah, that's better. That's better.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. So test. Okay,
it was a butterfly.
It was a butterfly. Welcome back. Another episode of the Sons of Thunder. One of the questions I want to ask you, should we start having the episodes come out on Thursdays?
I think we should.
Thunder Thursdays?
Thunder Thursdays. The third day.
Thursday, the third day.
New release date is on Thursdays is when we're going to start airing our episodes because it seems like we cannot meet in a timely manner.
We have scheduling conflicts and issues.
The senior pastor that's in here typically has about 45 minutes in a week that he's available. And that 45 minutes is typically when I actually have to do my job.
Yes.
My actual job.
Yeah. Or we have to record these at midnight.
Yes, which that
and it's
may
very
be,
dark. We actually do this in daylight.
That may be entertaining.
We have no lights in the room.
There's no lights.
This is just daylight. We have a skylight.
It may be kind of entertaining if we did that at midnight because I get real loopy.
We're already loopy enough.
That is
already
true. Loopy enough. They want to see that's the paid version.
That's the paid the subscription version. Welcome back. Another episode of The Sons of Thunder. No matter what other guys
are
saying.
You look like you're looking over there.
I'm looking at that camera's on me, right?
That camera's on you.
Okay.
And this camera's on me.
Okay.
It's dead in front of me too.
Yeah. That got a little bit of an angle here. We're back. The official Sons of Thunder.
This is the official. I don't think the other Sons of Thunder podcast will appreciate us calling. This is the official one.
Calling this the... Let's see if they'll reach out. Let's tag them.
I don't think they really care.
Probably not. After they see us, they're like, no, we're good. We're good. I will probably have to blur this shirt out, though, because they are not a sponsor.
Nope.
Did you like how the last episode I bleeped out the words that you said to bleep
out? I didn't know you could do it.
I mean,
you
the did. Editor did. The editor bleeped them out. Yeah. That was good.
That was great. We should do that. Like, at any serious moment during a podcast, we should throw in a bleep. It looks like we're just went off the trail. Yeah.
I absolutely bleep.
Have you ever heard any of the video, like YouTube videos or something where it's like they bleep out the word Smurf anytime a Smurf says Smurf? Because they say Smurf on everything.
Okay.
It's like, did you check that out? And it's like, they just bleep it out. And it sounds like Smurf's got some mouths on them. It's real bad.
Oh, man. You know, the other Sons of Thunder podcast probably don't talk about Smurfs at all.
Why would anybody listen to
that? They're a Smurfless podcast.
I would never want to live in a Smurf in a Smurfless society.
Smurf. That's a...
Smurf, yeah.
That's a... That's the part I'll bleep out. Our editor will bleep out. Our production editor. All right. So today, welcome. We're here. We made it to the Sons of Thunder.
You made it.
I've got to. We do have to be quick. We are here in the studio again because of all the requests.
There's so many requests.
So many requests.
Would you please stop doing this?
No, joke's on you.
So we came on to say no, we will not stop. Yeah.
And if you unfollow us, we will sponsor an ad just so it gets back into your feed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what we'll show them. We need to grow our social following.
We do.
I think that's the problem.
Can you guys help us?
Can you guys help us?
We need help.
Help us grow our following. I want you to send this to everyone. Not share it. Send it. Message send it to everybody. Yeah.
Text message.
Message our faces to everybody you know. Send it.
We'll give
it.
Maybe we can figure out some kind of weird random thing. No context, just send it to them.
Ooh, like a giveaway, a secret giveaway.
Yeah, of nothing.
A secret giveaway.
Have we sent David Gant his?
No, we still haven't. We've not heard from him. I feel like
I have.
Oh, I haven't heard from him.
I meant to tell you that.
I appreciate it. He's like, hey, tell your brother.
Hey, David, just go ahead and comment your address underneath.
And social security number and bank.
I mean, if you want to throw that in.
Bank account number and... Yeah, we'll go from there. All right, so today we want to talk about something that's very fun. This is one of your favorite places in Scripture.
Yeah.
Now, we say that about every episode, right?
We do.
But I do think this one is a good one. This one's a good one. We had talked about, you know, hey, what's this next episode? What do you want to talk about? And here's the problem. People don't understand this. This is our problem.
This is the sole problem we have?
This is the sole problem we have. We have too much content that we make all week long.
Right.
So we get to this point where we're like, what do we want to talk about? I could talk about Revelation 2 and 3. We could talk about Elisha in what you preached last week.
Yes.
We could talk about...
The stuff I've been learning within our small group.
Within your small group. Within our small group. I'm teaching students in small groups.
Yep.
We could talk about... it's just constant content. It's stuff I'm coaching my daughters in golf. I could tell you principles that we were on the golf course the other day, and I could tell you all these principles about golf, like that I'm trying to train, that are spiritual. There's so much. So what do we choose? Let's go with something we haven't talked about.
Yeah, let's just roll with the brand new.
It was funny in our conversation, just so the world knows how this works with the brothers, with the Sons of Thunder. We were like, okay, what do you want to talk about? And it's like, well, we could talk about Wednesday night. Yeah, it was great. You know, make room for the Lord.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a great, great message. You know, let's learn from the seven churches in Revelation. Great understandings.
What not to do.
What Jesus has against you.
Yeah. You're doing great, but...
Yeah, you're a great church, except for the fact that you're terrible.
Right.
We could talk about that. We could talk about, you know, Sunday mornings, the small group stuff. So as we're talking, we're like, which one of these things do you want to talk about? And it's like, how about the thing we talked about a year and a half ago?
Yes.
When we were going through a study in Acts about the seven sons of Sceva.
Sceva! Oh, this is going to be great, man.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, so, the Sons of Thunder, Sons of Sceva.
Sons of Sceva.
I'm going to stick with Sons of Thunder. I would rather be a part of this.
I would rather be a part of the Sons of Thunder than Sons of Sceva.
Great.
The Sons of Sceva podcast. That would be a really great parody.
That really would be.
Hey, Babylon B.
Yeah.
You need to do a Sons of Sceva podcast.
I feel like, why don't, I think Sons of Thunder, we just need to get with our corporate sponsors and see if we can like create a spoof of even Sons of Thunder, which is going to be even more inappropriate. Could you imagine?
That's the paid version. The Sons that of would, Skeeva.
Yeah, if you guys want, Skeeva. If you guys want us, I mean, I can be each one of the seven Sons of Skeeva. There's so many accents that can come out. They're terrible, but they can come out.
What we can do is we could buy body suits that are like flesh colored.
Yes,
and blur it out.
Yes,
you'll see in just a minute. See. Stick around. We got something to talk about. Let's talk about the seven Sons of Skeeva. So this is found in the Book of Acts, chapter 19. We're already off the rails.
It
bad.
Is. It gets so good bad. Though.
So let's put some context here. So if you're not familiar with the seven Sons of Skeeva, you need to know a little bit about what's going on. Paul, on his third missionary journey, so he is an experienced, well-known, famous. How do you do three? When I hold up three, I hold up this.
These that feels more three. Natural, but I've never done that. I do this.
Partly because I did this so much growing up.
Oh,
gotcha. Gotcha. So anyway, if you're not watching on YouTube, you didn't get any of that. But good.
Watch it on YouTube.
Go check out the clip.
Watch it on YouTube. Play it on Spotify for us if you don't mind.
Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That's where we get paid.
Oh, Apple Podcasts?
Yeah. And Spotify too.
Oh, yeah. Apple. How you like them apples?
It's just that apple. Just that apple.
How you like that apple?
Somebody asked me the other day, they said, it's a college kid. He said, so are you and your brother, you really do this podcast thing? I said, yeah. He said, do you get paid for this? I said, we do. He said, somebody's paying for that? I was like, what is that supposed to mean? Yes.
They're
entertainment.
Know.
Oh, I will say this. You sent me this. I went and looked it up to test it myself, and it was true. On Spotify, if you go to look at our podcast, if you go to any podcast on Spotify, oh gosh.
This is great.
This is great. If you go to any podcast on Spotify, go to the podcast page, the title page, and then you can see all their episodes, right? So you can go to our podcast on Spotify. It shows all of our episodes. Then there's a little button that says more like this. You can go and find other podcasts that are similar based on the categories and the content. If you go to the Sons of Thunder on Spotify and you go to more like this, it says, we can't find anything like this. There's zero suggestions.
That's how good we are.
Zero. Any other? I've never seen that in a podcast before.
No.
And I think I put under our categories like comedy. Like that's what one of the, it's like comedy, spirituality, you know, and they're like, yeah.
From Brooklyn.
We have nothing like this, which made me feel very validated.
Yeah.
Thank you, Spotify, for seeing our uniqueness.
The Israeli named Janice.
In fact, we're gonna make this a reel, and I'm gonna show it.
I kicked the video.
You kicked the camera.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm
that's
excited.
Okay. I don't know how. It's so sturdy.
It is very sturdy.
There's paper clips, there's binder clips holding our stuff together.
Yeah, we actually borrowed a room from another podcast.
Yeah.
They don't even know we're in here.
They don't. They don't know it's funny whenever the other podcast comes in to record, they say, looks like we've been thunderized.
Yeah. I do
we
know
move everything in the room.
And it's funny because it's a group of sisters.
It is, yeah.
And the younger sister is the one I'm sitting in, and she always gets mad at me.
She does.
She sends me messages. She's like, would you stop it?
She's the one that said, she watches every episode. She's the only one in my family that, it's my daughter's. So she's the only one in my family that actually watches our podcast. The other ones are like, she'll come in and she'll say, she'll do some quote from the episode. And Briley's like, what are you talking about? She said, you haven't watched The Sons of Thunder yet.
All I know is
faithful
that
listener.
Britain will listen. Briley at least shares the post. She's like, this is too dumb. I'm just going to share it real quick. I'm not going to look at it.
She shares the socials. back to the Sons of Thunder. So Paul is on his third missionary journey.
That's four. nothing like this.
Nothing like the third missionary journey. He is an experienced guy.
Or this
guy.
Podcast. Go ahead.
Right. Nothing like this. So he's on a mission trip. He is in Ephesus, the city that... there's a church there, right? It turns out to be a good church. He writes a letter to Ephesians.
Huh.
I mean, there's another letter later. We don't talk about that one in Revelation.
Explain this to me as if I were five.
So he's in Ephesus, a city that is large, and it is in this time spiritually. So if you're checking the spiritual temperature of Ephesus, very spiritually dark. It's in the Roman Empire, so it's a place that Rome has an authority over it. It was the center of a certain cult of Artemis, which is also known as Diana, depending on which translation you read and you use, a hub for magic, sorcery, and the occult. Bad place, spiritually, very dark.
I do love magic, though.
not illusions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
More like a dark magic of demonic.
Dark. No.
Demonic magic.
Like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like the Dementors. Like all the Dementors in Harry Potter. No, not like that.
Paul's on his third journey. The gospel, on this third journey, if you look at all of his journeys and do some surveys on him, we should probably do that one day on the podcast, but he has, each journey has a different kind of feel to it.
Right.
Different experiences. This third journey, he is dealing a lot with big, deep spiritual issues. So, you know, one of them he deals with fighting false doctrine, Judaism. One of them he deals with different situations, different elements. This one specifically, a lot of paganism in his third missionary journey, a lot of demonic powers. He hits them head on. He just runs after it. So,
sorry, just imagine Paul headbutting demons.
Demon stitcher. Boom.
The little girl.
In Philippi, Paul goes and headbutts the little demonic girl. Oh, gosh.
I'm so tired. Oh, life's got me tired.
It's been a long week, and it's like, you realize it's like the first of the week, right? You realize
I'm so tired.
It's so early in the week.
Sorry, just imagine Paul.
He turns around to the girl.
Stop following me. Woo! Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Every mental image in my head is always a cartoon, which makes it so much worse.
Paul's coming at her with little girl's big wide eyes. What's happening? You'll be fine in just a minute.
Oh goodness. That's how Paul opens doors and everything.
So in Acts,
you said he went head in. Sorry. Okay.
Acts 19.
Focus.
Acts 19 is where this story takes place. I have notes. I try to have notes and prepared for episodes. Joseph comes in with.
You don't want me with notes because then I can just.
Joseph just says, you start talking and I'll feed off.
Yes, that's how we roll.
I'll just go this way.
That's how James and John were.
The Sons of Thunder were like that. John had his notes.
John has notes and James was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's why James was killed first. Just like you're aware.
I'm fully aware of that.
In Acts 19 is where the story's found. Verses 11 through 20 is where this episode takes place. First off, a lot of extraordinary miracles happening by Paul, moments.
Oh, yeah, the stuff that happened with Paul, like, literally just, I read one commentary about this, and it said his sweat rags.
Yes.
He's like, man, shoo.
So Paul is a tent maker.
He's a tent maker.
He goes and he works. He has an apron. He has these handkerchiefs. Right?
Yeah.
Handkerchiefs?
from all the headbutting.
He's wiping his brow. How does this all fit? That's my question. What is happening right now? He takes his handkerchiefs and he wipes the sweat off his brow and he throws it. He throws it wherever it goes. Those are being... they're healing people. They'll take the sweat rag, and they will go and heal somebody with it. Extraordinary.
That's like insane.
So much so. You think about this. So Luke is the author of the book of Acts.
A physician.
Very, very specific on details. Very doctrinal.
Yeah.
Because he's a doctor. And he's
super smart.
Making sure he's calculating every note, writing everything down, you know, crossing every T, dotting every I. And he says these are extraordinary miracles, unlike the ones of the apostles.
Right.
These are extraordinary. They've never even seen things like
extraordinary.
This before. Extraordinary.
I mean, the fact is, like, I mean, I feel like Luke may have been a little bit leaning heavy towards Paul. Like, I think they were closer.
Probably. As he's
he didn't want to be headbutted. That's what it was.
He's watching Paul headbutt everybody. He's like, his miracles are really cool.
I don't know why this one's got me so bad. That's so good. I gotta stop.
Oh man. Yeah. Here's a historical note. I made sure to write this down because I want to make sure you understand the history. Because you hear stuff like that, and you're like, if somebody, you know, dropped a sweat rag and it went and healed somebody, you're thinking that seems very odd and
TV
very
evangelist.
Yes, very much so. The historical kind of context, though, is in the Greco-Roman world, charms and magical objects used a lot, commonly used to carry, and they were known to carry power. Right. So it was, and again, a spiritually dark place. So God, in whatever reason, allowed Paul's aprons and sweat rags and stuff to be used as in supernatural, powerful ways. So, but it's not magic. So a lot of times those amulets and those charms and things would be used as like magic items. These were used as like God's instruments, and people would recognize that. When people were healed by it, they praised God, not Paul, and not the sweat rag, because that's gross. Can you imagine picking up a wet sweat rag and be like, oh, is your arm broken? And they throw it at you.
I'm going to go throw this sweat rag at my sick friend. It's like, dude, I didn't want that. It's like either that or Paul's going to come over and headbutt you. That's not biblical. Just want to make sure everybody's aware. Yes,
yeah, Paul does not. There's no record of Paul headbutting anybody. He gets pretty frustrated sometimes.
Literally all I see now, though.
So in verse 11 through 12, that talks about the extraordinary miracles that are happening. Verses 13 through 16 is where we pick up and find the...
It's so random.
It's very random.
But one of the coolest passages in the whole Bible, because it's like, that didn't need to be said, but I'm so thankful it was.
I'm so thankful it's in there. So these Jewish exorcists...
That's what they are. Yeah.
That's what they are. They attempt to invoke the name of Jesus for magical purposes, right? So they're trying to exorcise demonic spirits. They are saying the name of Jesus.
Do you think they had been successful?
No.
Before this?
Before this? Hard to know. What do you think?
It is hard to know. I think, because we're going to get into something here in a minute, but I think that just because they use a specific name, some demons may have fled.
Okay. Dumb demons.
Dumb demons.
Demons that just know, if the name's Jesus is out there, I'm gone. I'm
dead.
I think one of the things that's going to come out of this episode, I think, I don't know, we're not there yet, and I don't know what's in your brain, and I don't want to know.
I don't even know what's in my brain yet. It's not cleared yet.
I think there is a takeaway from this that is extremely convicting. Extremely convicting.
Yeah.
Because these men, these seven sons of Sceva's, who they are, here's one of the phrases, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. That's their phrase, right?
Right.
To get a demonic spirit to exercise out of a person and like do what they wanted to do. That happens. Sceva is a chief priest. Okay. Let's talk about Sceva.
Sceva is a chief priest. It says that, but.
Historically, there's no record of him being a high priest.
Correct.
Chief priest. No, not a high priest. Likely, he's a local Jewish leader claiming a title for status.
I heard that's what some of the stuff I've read, and it makes perfect sense that
yes,
he didn't really hold this position based on what God has given him. He claimed it because he wanted
the power and the authority.
And the reason we gather that is specifically because of what his sons are doing.
Correct. And they're kind of like interning as exorcists, right? They're like FYI, working their way in.
I'm a future cast this a little bit. They're not really good at it. They're not.
They're really bad. In fact, from my notes, I had taught this years ago. And from my notes, it says the failed exorcist.
Are you talking
that's the section?
I think maybe the takeaway is make sure you have a very secure belt.
That's a great takeaway. I don't think I'm wearing a belt today. Oh gosh. So most likely Sceva is just a Jewish local guy who's claiming this priesthood as a chief priest so he could have influence. His sons are out exercising demons.
Yes.
And they are, here's what the demons say to him.
Man, this gets
And this, and so I've got, and I've also got the Greek words for it here too, so we understand.
Good,
the depth
good. I was hoping you had them because I tried to pronounce them earlier and realized real quick I can barely speak English.
I mean, yeah. So
I'll let you butcher it.
And so, just so we know, I wrote down another thing.
Maybe you can
too.
Bleep it out. I could, bleep out the Greek
that,
word and just
that's
put
what
it
I'll
in.
Do. I'll put it on the.
I mean, not you, the editor.
The editor can do
and
that.
The producer.
Yes. Let's see here. I also had what Ephesus was called. Ephesus was the magic in Ephesus. This was known. It was inscribed on all these charms and amulets and all this stuff. It was believed to bring health, wealth, and protection. And the word is Ephesia Grammata. Ephesia Grammata. That's the word that Ephesus has come from.
Ephesia Grammata.
Ephesia Grammata. That was like the magic phrase. Say abracadabra.
Ephesia Grammata.
Ephesia Grammata.
I'm going to say that every time I put like Parmesan on spaghetti now. Ephesia Grammata.
Do it at Olive Garden.
I will.
When they say, do you want some cheese? Or Ephesia Grammata.
Ephesia Grammata.
What? So here's what the demon's response is. So these guys go up and they are very Ephesia Grammata. They're very much super. Like, I want to magically do this. So they say, in the Jesus that Paul speaks of, here's what I want you to do.
In the name of Jesus that Paul preaches.
Yes.
Come on. And I bet they had this arrogance about him.
Oh,
again,
you
it's
know
not,
they just
they're all
smudge. They just walk around like this.
Is that how they're walking? All seven of them in unison.
Just like this right here, strutting around. Here's what the demon says. Jesus, I know. Mm. And Paul, I recognize. Whew. But who are you?
Dude.
If a demon's talking to me, first off, that's freaking me out a little bit.
But they think mm-hmm. we got numbers on our side. There's seven
right.
of us. There's
seven
only,
of us.
There's only one of this guy.
One of this
and
demon.
One demon.
The word for Jesus I know, the word know in Greek is gnosko, which means I have full knowledge of Jesus. I have full understanding of who he is. And when it says Paul, I recognize, that word is epistamia,
yes.
which means I acknowledge Paul.
Yeah, we've heard of him. Like,
we've had a few encounters with Paul before.
Like, Jesus.
He headbutted us hard.
We were in the little girl first.
Paul, he cast us out of her.
Paul said, in the name quick. Of Jesus. Da, da! So, I mean, in that it says Jesus, we like almost, it says in later, I think it's in James, correct me if I'm wrong, in James, okay. where it says, the demons even believe that there is one God and they shudder.
And they shudder.
Yeah. I think it's like, that was really weird timing.
Somebody's upstairs and there's just thunder.
It's like they shudder.
Is there demons in the, yeah.
But it says, like, there's the demons even believe in shudder. I think even at the name of Jesus, it was one of those, like, you know, I'm going back to the Lion King, where it's like even when they say the name Mufasa.
Going back to the Lion King? When were you in the Lion King?
Yeah, up here, bro, all the time. But it's like,
I'm always a Hakuna Matata.
All the time. But it's like every time they say the name Mufasa, they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah.
I think it's how the,
say it again.
Yeah. The demons were like, they're like, in the name of Jesus, like, okay, like, I know, like, I don't know you. But that name alone,
right,
scares the daylights out of me.
Yes, I fully know this Jesus.
Fully know. They know him because he's conquered him.
I'll acknowledge Paul because we mess with him again. he's got a lot of Jesus in him.
Yeah.
And so they say, but who are you? Ooh. Then the possessed man overtakes the seven sons of Sceva.
I love how one commentary states, as they think, this commentator said, he believes as he was overtaking, he was shouting, who do you think you are? Who are you? Go ahead and explain to us the overtaking.
Well, so when it says the possessed man overpowers them violently.
Violently, yeah.
The Greek word means to dominate or to master without any hesitation or issue. So it's a complete mastery. Meaning,
ultimate warrior.
The seven sons of Sceva get no shot in, none at all. So,
I can understand the first one not getting a shot in. He thought he was in the middle of something. By the fourth one, you should be aware
Do they all attack at the same time?
I think they're running. I think they're scared. I don't think they know what to do.
Have you seen? There's some Tom Cruise movie. I don't remember which one it is, but he says there's like four guys around him.
The Lion King.
Yes, he says.
Oh, it's Reacher.
Is that what it is? Because he says
he's not Jack Reacher. He's tiny.
Yeah. He made the statement of something like, "There's four guys around him." He's like, "I'm gonna have to fight two of you." And they're like, "Dude, there's four of us." He's like, "Yeah, but once I dominate the first one, like,
there's only gonna be one.
There's only gonna be one of you guys left to even try it. Then the other two are gonna, you know, whatever." I almost think the Seven Sons Keep got to be like that. The demon's probably thinking, "Well, there's only two of you."
I would be the brother to let you get the junk beat out of you, and I would run away.
Yeah,
but he obviously got a hold of all seven of them.
Got a hold of all seven of them.
There's proof of that. I hope. Because if not, that's weird. That's a weird way to escape.
I don't know why Luke said it, because it is strange. So after they get attacked.
Right.
Verse 17. Verse 16. When they get attacked.
This is.
the demon not only overtakes them and masters them completely.
I'm going to get you.
He stripped them completely naked.
He did. So
all seven of these guys. And why did this happen? Here's what I think.
Why did Luke write it down?
God
told him to.
Why did the demon-possessed man, why did he do this? Here's what they say. We want you to come out of this guy, right? We want you in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And the demon looks at him, he's like, whoa, Jesus.
Jesus, I know.
I know him fully. You do not say that name. I almost wonder if the demon, under some respect, was like, I need to make sure you understand, like, no, I won't even go up against Jesus.
My relatives went into a bunch of pigs and died.
Yeah.
My other cousin went and was in a little girl. Paul headbutted him out. Like, so don't even. But, like, in my head, I think it's like, you know, Jesus, I know.
Yeah.
Paul, I've heard of.
Yes. Who do you think you are?
This guy starts swinging haymakers like crazy.
Beating them up to the point of bruised and battered and destroyed, and then strips all of their clothes off. The demon could have, he could have.
I know Jesus.
Why would the demon not?
Mike Tyson.
Oh, gosh. Sorry. I'm not going to do it.
Please don't.
I'm going to focus. So after this happens, of course, fear is on everybody.
Seven Sons of Sceva. Up in my house right now.
Get into the ring with me. Let's go.
I got a pet tiger. Okay.
So after these guys are stripped and they run off, why did the demon not... I don't know. Like, what? Let these guys escape. They're naked. Everything. Now fear is everywhere, right? The news, it says the news spread to the Jews and the Greeks. Fear is on everybody.
All terrified. I mean,
why wouldn't you be?
Right.
Right. And so how do the Sons of Sceva live after this? I mean, you can't go in public. No, first off, everybody's seen you.
All of you.
Yeah. And it's in a way that you couldn't do something that you said you were good at.
Yeah, it's like, I thought this was like your profession.
Yeah, aren't you professional exorcist? Yeah, we didn't know who we were dealing with. Yeah. We should not have mentioned Jesus. As soon as we did, all the wheels fell off and we were in trouble.
Even mentioning the name of Jesus made the demons mad.
Yeah.
Not his name, the fact that his name came out of their mouths.
Right. Right.
When a demon respects the Savior more than we do.
You don't mishandle his name, so I'm taking you down.
Because that's what it even says, too. Like, they are taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yes.
By doing this. When they think they're doing this correctly, which, I mean, there's ulterior motives.
Sure.
They're doing
this
for glory. They're doing this for show. They're doing this for all that stuff.
Yeah, for the impact of
But they took the name of the Lord in vain.
I will say this. Something that stands out to me. So
the nudity, is that what it is?
That does stand out in the story a bit. But when Christ's name is displayed, his name, not the messenger,
right?
Then he's glorified. So because of his name being mentioned in this story, in this scene, there's fear and reverence and awe all through the Jews and the Greeks and everybody around. And it's not because Paul came in and did it. It's because literally Jesus' name was mentioned and Jesus won a battle that he wasn't even in.
Yeah. So here,
the seven sons of Sceva don't know Jesus.
No. Do you think they knew him afterwards?
I'm sure they stopped. They did.
Well, here's the thing. How else would the people have known? They had to say.
They had to say. Here's my thought.
This psycho.
So these guys say, we see Paul doing all these incredible things.
Right.
His we sweat rag. We want that. Because people are starting to praise Paul, and they're giving him all this influence. We want that. So they go to this demonic man. They're like, hey, in the name of Jesus, if there's a question, it's the one that Paul proclaims.
Yeah.
And the demon's like, there's no question.
Well, I know Jesus.
You obviously don't.
Yeah.
And so the demon just tears him apart. And I think this is not about...
Violently.
Violently. So here's the thing, that if the seven sons of Sceva don't know Jesus, because they don't know him, right?
Right.
The demon wasn't asking for Jesus.
No, did not want Jesus.
Jesus isn't even in the battle.
Why is the demon the hero in the story? That's so messed up.
I'm kind of thankful for this demon, right? Like, how is it that Jesus wasn't in the battle and he still ended up being glorified and won? He won the battle he wasn't even in.
Yeah.
I'm like, because his name was in it.
His name alone.
His name alone was in the battle, and the enemies ended up naked and afraid and ran away.
If you take into consideration, like, man, this is somebody I look up to spiritually. For instance, they should have looked up to Paul spiritually in this situation, the seven sons of Sceva, because they mentioned Paul. They saw those things. But look at Paul's life. Paul never once takes credit for the thing that's going on. So it's like, I'm gonna do what Paul did, but I'm gonna take the credit.
Yes.
If Paul took credit, Paul would be in the same boat.
Paul would be beat up and naked. And
he was beat up a lot.
Yeah, come to think of it. Maybe.
He was constantly beat up, but it's like,
we're going to get to heaven, Paul's going to be like, yeah, I thought for a second about taking some influence, so I got beat up and thrown out of the city.
Every single time.
Do you have your Bible on, like, a Bible app?
No. I do, but we're using...
the phone that has it. I was going to say, look up, read verses 18 and 19. I want to see if this... I want to see how this tracks.
Okay, you keep
talking. I'll keep talking. So it's Acts 19, verses 18 and 19. So this is, after the scene takes place, fear of the Lord spreads out everywhere, and there is this public confession that happens. So when the name of Jesus is used in a battle, the name of Jesus wins, fear comes on everybody, and then there is this confession and this kind of renouncing of the old ways. You got it?
No.
Read.
Wait, what? Acts 19?
Read Acts 19, 18 and 19.
18 and 19. Let's see here. Acts 18 and 19 says, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to... The total came to 50,000 drachmas.
Yes. 50,000 drachmas is a full day's wage. So it's everything you make in a day, right? So that's it's a pretty good amount of money.
$17?
not the amount our podcast makes in a day.
Oh, 17 cents?
Yes. So believers ended up, they confessed, we've made a mistake. We shouldn't have lived this way. That word, so they disclosed their practices. That word in the Greek is... habitual deeds or hidden sins. So they're like, we're going to confess this stuff out. Are the deeds that we keep doing in our life and the sins that are hidden in our souls. And the magic scrolls are the things they were using Ephesia grammata.
Ephesia grammata.
Those are the things that they have. They've gone and they burn. 50,000. Day's wages.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not, so what was that? A drachma? A drachma is a day's wage. There were 50,000 of those day's wages, which is the equivalent of several million dollars. Okay. So it's not just one day's wage. It's 50,000 of those day's wages. 50,000 day's wages. 365 days. Think about it, is a year. So a year's wage.
It's more than I make in a year. days wages.
Well, you got to think, and you're working probably 5 days a week. So 52 times five, and you 250 something days, 270 days a year. And so think about 270,
50,000
of those. several million dollars. So these scrolls often contain, in Ephesus specifically with the Aphasia Grammata, often contained binding spells to hold things down and hold things back. And they also had some secret names in them of demons and deities. So burning them was a sign of them saying, listen, we're throwing them in the fire. So all of the...
That's where they're going to end up
so
anyway.
So think about this. Like if in those binding, if in those magic scrolls in Ephesus, there was a list or secret hidden codes of like demonic names, as soon as Jesus's name is mentioned, the demonic names get thrown into the fire. Do you know... So this is a parallel. One of God's favorite things to do is write names in a book, right?
He's pretty, yeah.
He loves it. In the book of Revelation, several times, there's a lot of books he's written names in. There's a lot of books that we...
There's one in particular I really want my name's in.
One I'm really glad my name's in.
Yeah.
So here's what happens. And if God writes a name in a book, it's forever sealed, whatever. If these demonic names were in these scrolls, really and truly, they were thrown in the fire and burned into ashes. Like how picturesque is this of Jesus's name getting mentioned and demonic spirits are burned? Like that's what happens. Like how powerful and incredible is this? It's crazy.
But here's the thing for me is I think we undermine demonic forces way too much.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, modern culture. I mean, yeah. We've talked about too before, like how the demons, like how the enemy has just he's allowed comfort, mm-hmm. and with that comfort level. Like he's like, I don't need to persecute. I don't need to do all these things.
Right.
Because typically persecution, like all I need to do is get you guys comfortable and get you sidetracked.
Yes. And so I'm good to go.
He did that because these guys, these Seven Sons of Sceva, you know, they're just walking around doing their own thing. And they're like, you know what? Let's make a name for ourselves. It's like, Jesus, like you will not take my glory.
Yeah.
And the demon's smart enough to know that.
Yeah. And then the demon ends up, he's like, well, my name was written in that stinking scroll. Thanks a lot, because now it's going to get burned because you mentioned Jesus. Maybe that's what the demon ripped him up for, because he's like, you brought Jesus into this.
Now we're...
I'm mad. We're all doomed.
Yeah,
we're all doomed because he's awesome.
Man.
So yeah, there's some... then in verse 20, the word prevails. You know, the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily because it was met head on by demonic forces and it won. So even with all the spiritual oppression and all that in the world, Jesus's word is still stronger. Ephesus, a population of about 250,000, 300,000 people at this time, very famous for one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, which was that temple of Artemis,
and the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
I'm geologically challenged.
It's
geographically challenged.
The Oh man!
Oh, Paul headbutt.
So here's one of the things that we don't talk about. There's a connection here that if you read later in the book of Acts, if you keep going in the story past this scene, so we wonder why that scene's in the Bible, right? It's weird. It's weird.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's weird. If you keep reading though, there's a tie that the silversmiths end up rioting in Ephesus. Why? Because they burned all the magic stuff. So the silversmiths had... So think about not just the spiritual implications, but the actual financial, economic situation that happened in Ephesus. There were the news scattered so far, so many people were afraid, came together and burned all their old stuff. So much... The silversmiths are now rioting because of the financial, economic collapse. Crazy.
This is...
So wild.
It gets so good. Oh man.
It just keeps getting better. Go read it. I promise it's good. It's good. So they have there were multiple like Jewish exorcists that were out there,
right,
that were doing this type of work.
It's funny because they were doing it in the name of Jesus. Right. It's like, this is Jesus.
Because it worked.
Yeah, right? It worked.
Because it worked.
But they're like you sit there, you can talk about how stupid that sounds. Then let's transfer this into modern day.
Yes.
How stupid are we by thinking we can just, man, Jesus gave me the victory to make this touchdown. Jesus gave me the strength to make this touchdown. It's like, Jesus gave me the strength to breathe this morning.
Right.
Idiot.
Right. When people over-spiritualize something, and we know these people in our lives, I've got a lot of people in my life that over-spiritualizes everything. Now, I do believe 99% of problems are spiritual.
I agree with that.
And I think, so this past week.
100%. There was no sickness until they took a bite of the fruit.
Correct. That is correct. The disobedience happened. 100% of the problems. Now, however, there's some things in life that just decay. So correct. For instance, this week I had a rough week, right? I've had a few things happen to me this week that have just been rough.
You have.
One of them is.
I've laughed at you.
I had a car breakdown. My daughter's car broke down. And so I had to go and get it towed and take it to a mechanic. I tried to fix it myself. Didn't help.
Luckily, it's only 95 degrees with 100% humidity. Yes. So you've been fine.
I was in a parking lot.
No shade.
I was in a parking lot, no shade, trying to fix my car. And I was replacing something in the engine and under the hood. And I was in there. People driving by. And it was the main strip where our church is, right? So it's main strip in the city. And I'm out in a major parking lot. And all these people drive by honking. I heard somebody, hey, pastor. And I'm like, what? I'm out here. I'm wringing wet with sweat. I've been out there for an hour, pouring sweat. And I thought, okay, so if I can get this thing in, I'll be fine. So I get it in.
I only passed you twice.
was that Anthony? I'm going to drive back around. Yeah, it was. Cool. So it didn't work. So then I had to have the car towed. Had it towed to a mechanic. They fix it. We drive it back home. It doesn't work again. Messed up again. Have to have it towed again. Mm. And the whole time I thought, oh, this is tough. Like my life is terrible, right? And then I'm thinking, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And here's what he said. I think I heard him. He said, head butt from ball. He said, he didn't say this was a spiritual battle I was dealing with. Right. He didn't say the enemy's been attacking you, son. He didn't say, you've not had your. He said, you have an old car.
right.
Old cars break.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's what you have. And then I said,
I actually held it together longer for you.
Yeah, I've been holding this thing together with scotch tape, man. Would you please go get it fixed? So I then go, here's what I said. I was like, well, Lord, can you help me get a new car? And he's like, you should have planned your finances better.
Okay, yeah.
I'm like, oh, right. So that's on me too. Now it's like I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, well, I've been given to you, Lord. And he's like, yeah, but you've also spent this on areas you didn't need. That's a car payment. You could have bought a car. So I realized that it was not the Lord or Satan or demonic influences. It was my own lack of financial, I don't know if I was like management, maybe. I don't know.
Smartness.
And stuff in the world decays. Stuff in the world has problems.
Yeah.
An engine's going to have problems. Yep. So there's all that. But so today, here's what, don't over spiritualize everything. Don't be those people. The enemy's all over me today. My electricity flashed out three times. You have electricity.
I watched a reel that we made like 2 years ago from a sermon that you preached.
Oh gosh.
And it said like, it was basically the same theme of.
You're saying I've had problems before.
No, not that. We're always saying, I mean, the enemy's really attacking. The enemy's attacking. The enemy, like he's, Satan's all over me.
I think I know
me.
Which clip you're talking
Satan's
about.
Satan's all over me. And the funny thing that you said, and you could almost, I think I cut my audio out because I'm in the sanctuary going, ha! Yeah. It was you were like, man, everybody's always like, Satan's all over me. Satan's attacking. And then it's, you stop for a minute, pause, and you said, Satan doesn't know your name. That's the thing. Satan's not like you're giving Satan way too much credit.
Right.
Satan's
right.
not omnipotent. Satan's not omniscient.
Right.
He's not everywhere. Also, what are you doing?
Satan's like, I got to make sure I can't take Joseph down.
Yeah. I can't. I can literally be in one place.
Right.
Joseph's the one guy I need to attack. Like, that's probably not how that's working.
Yes. Yeah. We said before, Satan is in one place at one time. He's not an omniscient being. He's not everywhere all the time. He's one place, one time. And so he's probably not on you.
Yeah. He's already touched America and be like, you guys are comfortable.
Yeah.
You're
no,
fine. You're no threat.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. He says, I've touched America. I mean, Laodicea. I mean,
whoa.
Oh, no. I'm in Revelation. It's really good. So a couple of takeaways from today.
I'm going to headbutt it. I learned one thing from Paul. Oh, that's not the one thing.
Yeah, no, that's not the
that's
one
what Dude Perfect's doing. Knocking.
that's
Ty is the modern day YouTube version of Paul with the headbutts.
So a couple things to take away from today. Let's say some takeaways. Takeaways are don't treat Jesus like a charm. Ooh. He's not an amulet that he's you wear not. Around your neck. An amulet's like a wand, isn't it? I don't know what an amulet is.
I really want a carryall. like a staff.
Like a staff.
Dude, that'd be
Jesus
cool.
is not a charm or a charm bracelet. Prayer, scripture are not your magic wand to get out of your problems.
Right.
Don't use them that way. Destroy and expose every idol in your own life. It's got these people in Ephesus had to destroy all of their idols and all of their.
And again, a problem with that is too many times we're like, well, this isn't an idol. It's just a convenience.
Right.
But we make idols. Like I've asked people in my small group, I'm like, if you say, I don't have enough time for Bible study. I don't have enough time to read scripture. I'm like, let me look at your phone and see how long you've been
TikTok. Here's the statement. I almost said this on Sunday and I didn't. And I don't know if I'm going to say it or not because it sounds kind of mean. But when I first started ministry, there was no social media at all. There Correct. Was no Facebook. There was no Instagram. There was no TikTok. There's no Snapchat. There's no, none of it. None of it existed. And do you know, whenever I was early on in ministry, families would come and tell me, people would come and tell me, I was in student ministry, a lot of parents would come and tell me, it's just hard to get Bibles read. We just don't have the time. Do you know that without Facebook, without Instagram, without Snapchat, without TikTok, without social media, people didn't have time to read their Bible? Do you know what they made time for?
Oh.
All of the social medias. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't play games. Have you seen the image of the guy that took he took a bunch of pictures out everywhere and then cropped out the cell phones?
Yes.
And everybody's just sitting there like this. Like, can you imagine your kids are trying to talk to you and this is what you're doing? You got an iPad generation coming up. And everybody's just doing this. You and I sitting in a room together instead of talking and enjoying time. I was driving the other day with.
I don't enjoy time with you.
I was driving today with. I had some people in the car.
Tried separate rooms.
I was driving the other day in the car and I had some people in the back and they were both on their phones, and I was like, y'all want to listen to music or jam or something? And they were like, sure. And so I put on a music and I'm up there singing and they're both just sitting there like this. And I was like, what? Y'all are miserable. Like, put those things away. Put them away. I'm not saying they are like the occult, but whatever you think.
I don't want to be a schema.
Here's what else I realized. I have tried so hard to make people joyful, right? You have too. One of your, I know that whenever we went through our process of identifying our who we are, and after our dad passed away and the whole scene happened and we were like, who are we? What are we doing? We're floating out here in space. We don't know what's going on. One of your things was you wanted to have everyone smiling, laughing, joyful.
Yes.
Right? I wanted everybody to live with purpose, absolute 100% purpose.
And the reason is because I'm like, man, God gave me a joy.
Yeah.
And like, we got to spread that joy.
Yes. And it's fantastic.
It's hard.
Here's the thing. I have been trying my best to get people to be joyful because in my mind, joy brings revival.
Correct. Right?
If you're excited, in this story in Ephesus, it was fear that brought revival.
Here's the thing. It's the holy fear. I keep hearing like, you shouldn't have any fear in your life. You should.
Yes. One.
The name.
One fear.
The name of Jesus sparked so much
Yes.
in this one demon.
Yes.
That he kicked the snot out of
So here's what we want. Naked. Here's what we want to see. Demon. We want to see you beat up, stripped, and running around afraid.
Terrified.
Because that will spark revival. If that's what it takes, we'll be a church that makes headlines, that's for sure.
So we have something called Vive Night, and it was Revelation 2. Was that what it was?
Revelation 1.
It was Revelation 1 that we started.
Yes.
Go read Revelation 1.
Yeah.
And tell me, and try not to have that level of fear. John, the apostle John.
The closest friend of Jesus.
The one whom he loved.
Was so afraid his brain couldn't handle it. And it says he fell like a dead man.
He passed out.
Yes.
Could you imagine when John woke up and he's like, Jesus, like, did you write that down? I need you to write that down.
It says he came over and put his hand on. You know, he's like that hand that was holding the seven stars just a second ago. Because over, hey, John, wake up, John. Hey, Jesus gets real close to his face. Can you write that down? Did you write that? Did you get it all? Let me check your work and see if you got it all. Oh, you missed. I was standing in the seven lampstands. Go ahead and put that down too. That's John looks up and blacks out again.
Hey, Jesus, John, could you repeat?
John, I'll veil your eyes for a little while. Sorry, my bad. Didn't mean to be too much for you.
John, you should have got some of the sunglasses.
you get the angel over there. Angel's wearing sunglasses. That's why I wear them. That's what I got them on for.
I got them from Hulk. Sorry. I'm sorry. It's terrible.
You must have bought the ones from Temu. They don't do it. They don't do the work.
Oh, goodness.
UV protection's got to be high.
Really high.
Oh, man. So the challenge today, don't be like the seven sons of Sceva. Don't be like the seven sons of Sceva and misuse the name.
I mean, understand that don't be outdone by a demon who says, Jesus, I know. Do you know Jesus? Like, you think you know Jesus. You know an American version of Jesus.
You don't know.
Read Revelation 1 and tell me if you know Jesus.
You don't know.
I'm sorry. I want to steal it for Dude Perfect and end this with noggin.
We're going to. That'll be the very last part after the closing.
Yeah.
So. Congratulations, you bet. Oh, are you, what?
Go ahead.
All
right, go ahead.
Congratulations. You made it to the end of this episode.
I declare you made it to the end of the episode.
If you laughed, cried, confessed something accidentally, or now need to call your therapist, you are an official Thunder Buddy. As we close, our commissioning is always the same, and it's so simple. May your joy be louder than your inner Pharisee. I'm sorry. May your joy be loud enough to scare your inner Pharisee. The Thunder left us a microphone, and for reasons heaven refuses to explain, we're still using it. This has been the Sons of Thunder podcast, where the forecast is always 100% chance of laughter with a side of emotional damage.
Just imagine, like, before Ty from Dude Perfect was the Apostle Paul, headbutting demons.
And he's calling it.
Noggin! All right.